Today is the 26th day of the month of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. First day post Christmas Day. It is wonderful to be here with you today. As we kind of begin the first bit of exhaling, I mean, probably still are kind of have traveled afar or are hosting, and so there's all kinds of stuff still going on, but we have moved through the celebration of Christmas Day, taking the next step forward now as we stare at the shore. We've been sailing all year, and it's land ho, right? There's just a few days left before we dock and conclude this year together. I'm grateful, though, that we are here now, and that we have these next steps forward to take. And our next step forward is going to lead us back into the book of Zechariah. Today, Zechariah chapter 9. This is the message from the Lord against the land of Aram and the city of Damascus. For the eyes of humanity, including all the tribes of Israel, are on the Lord. Doom is certain for Hamath near Damascus, and for the cities of Tyre and Sidon, though they are so clever. Tyre has built a strong fortress and has made silver and gold as plentiful as dust in the streets. But now the Lord will strip away Tyre's possessions and hurl its fortifications into the sea, and it will be burned to the ground. The city of Ashkelon will see Tyre fall and will be filled with fear. Gaza will shake with terror, as will Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. Gaza's king will be killed, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. I will grab the bloody meat from their mouths and snatch the detestable sacrifices from their teeth. Then the surviving Philistines will worship our God and become like a clan in Judah. The Philistines of Ekron will join my people, as the ancient Jebusites once did. I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. I am watching closely to ensure that no more foreign oppressors overrun my people's land. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Judah is my bow, and Israel is my arrow. Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior I will brandish it against the Greeks. The Lord will appear above his people. His arrows will fly like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the ram's horn and attack like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord of Heaven's armies will protect his people, and they will defeat their enemies by hurling great stones. They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine. They will be filled with blood like a bowl, drenched with blood like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will rescue his people. just as a shepherd rescues his sheep. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be. The young men will thrive on abundant grain, and the young women will flourish on new wine. Revelation 17. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. "Come with me," he said, "and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality." So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead: Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. "Why are you so amazed?" the angel asked. "I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns on which she sits. The beast you saw was once alive but isn't now, and yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. This calls for a mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. They also represent seven kings. Five kings have already fallen. The sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was but is no longer is the eighth king. He is like the other seven, and he too is headed for destruction. The ten horns of the beast are ten kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give him their power and authority. Together they will go to war against the Lamb. But the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. And his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. And the angel said to me, "The waters where the prostitute is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and his ten horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world." Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Proverbs 30:32. If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. Okay, so one day post-Christmas doesn't necessarily make this a lesser busy day, necessarily, but the last couple of days have probably been really busy days. Maybe more busy than normal, for sure. Probably, I don't know if it's the same for you, but probably December itself is just an exhausting month. Fun, joyous, melancholy, busy. So today we'll probably have leftovers, right? Some of whatever's left over from yesterday's feast, and maybe we'll go shopping, exchanges, after Christmas blowout sales. Family may be beginning to migrate back to their own home or own city, or maybe staying through the whole next week until New Year's. But today, our hearts make a small shift, a small turn. We're slowly moving away from the Christmas season. Just a tiny step today. And our focus starts to shift. And over the next couple of days, we will shift toward the goals for the coming new year. And our reading from Proverbs today offers shockingly relevant advice that will help us as we begin to make that shift and begin to think about what the next year may look like. The proverb says, if you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. So no matter how we've conducted ourselves during the last couple of days, it's unlikely that we haven't exhibited pride, and it's unlikely that we haven't encountered pride. And typically we notice this in the kind of over puffed up version of ourselves that we'll portray in these situations where we're either insecure or fighting to not get pulled back into some kind of family system that we grew up in that we're just not anymore. And so we kind of guard ourselves and use pride as a way to protect ourselves, even though we're setting ourselves up for a humiliating fall eventually. And over the last couple of days, we may have endured hours of conversations with loved ones who live their lives in comparison to someone else all of the time. So they like to compare everything from gifts to careers to spouses to children to homes to you name it. Or maybe even worse, that's us. We've made other people endure hours of our pride and posturing. Proverbs gave a sentence to speak directly, and its advice, the words of wisdom, are to cover our mouths. That little bit of ancient wisdom may seem harsh and direct at first blush. The truth can seem harsh at first blush, but it's actually freeing. Or being given permission to step back away from the showmanship, the posturing, the curating, the pride, trying to one-up each other, trying to win the comparison game. According to Proverbs, this makes us look like a fool, and we do not have to do it. It is not a mandatory, compulsory game that we have to play in life. We can chomp down on the prideful words that do not need to be spoken out of our mouths. And instead, in exchange for that, just be who we are, where we are, honestly. Then there's no posturing and nothing to hide. We're not in competition with anybody for anything. We are who we are. We are where we are. We don't have to step into a new year with a falseness about us that has to be continually inflated so that we constantly need new supply to puff ourselves up as we live a double life of lies. We're probably thinking about losing some pounds. Most people are. All right, we're going to hit that new year and we're going to hit the gym and we're going to shed these pounds. What if we shed a few pounds of pride? We've learned in scripture that our identity is not as compared to someone else that we are in competition with. It is found only in embracing God's mercy. And in that place, we are not required to pose or hide. In fact, we're not allowed to pose or hide. We're in the light. We're not in the shadows. We're not in the darkness. We don't have to create or present an image of ourselves that imagines what we would like to be in any given situation, but we are not. That is fantasy. That is false. That is only going to lead us down a path of destruction. It's foolish, according to the Bible. It will get us nowhere, according to the Bible. Nowhere. It goes nowhere. Committing to the freedom of being who we are, where we are, truthfully and honestly. That is walking into freedom. Let's remember what Paul, the apostle, told us. We are invited to reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. We are invited to reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. That doesn't happen when our lives are full of competition and revenge and comparison and envy and jealousy and taking what is not ours to take and giving what is not ours to give. We won't be able to reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth if we are lost in our own insecurities and reflecting our own false glory through pride. So think about it as we make this small shift and this small turn in these final days of the year. Next year, even now, starting now, you're invited to be yourself. It's the only way you're ever going to uniquely reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. And if we're starting to think about New Year's resolutions, maybe that 10 pounds is an important goal, but so is reflecting the glory of the Lord upon the earth. That is a worthy resolution. So, Father, we invite you. We invite you into that. We're coming out of a lot of emotion, a lot of celebration, a lot of feasting, a lot of joy, and a lot of sorrow. And we're moving forward, and we can feel the pull because the days are few, and we feel the pull of a new year, a fresh start. So we invite your Holy Spirit as we're making these steps through the remaining days, contemplating what's next, that you would lead us into all truth about what's next, and that fundamental shifts in our own hearts will shift the way that we look at everything, that we might desire freedom above everything else, that what's next for us is to be true, to have nothing to hide, to not be curating or competing in any way, to not be envious, to not be prideful, to not be participating in things that are only going to lead us into darkness and evil. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Dabbers. This is Jennifer from Michigan. I just have a prayer request that's pretty serious. My coworker was in a bad accident, and I guess they were able to stop the internal bleeding. This morning on the way to work, this happened, and we just now heard from her mother. We had no idea where she was. And she has multiple fractures and a pelvis fracture. It's going to be a long, hard road of recovery. And she definitely does not know Jesus. So could you please lift April up to God in your prayers for total restoration and healing? Thank you.
Father, I pray for the gentleman that called in about his wife that left him 3 years ago, and he's struggling, God, with the temptations of this world. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for him, Lord God, that his mind will stay on you. You said you would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, Isaiah 26:3. Lord, bless him, God, with a heart and a mind that loves you and that will stay steadfastly connected with you, God, through prayer and the word. This world has nothing to offer us, God, that is everlasting. And what you're seeking, brother, is everlasting life. You need to stay connected to everlasting life, but that is a true life. This life is temporary. And I pray, God, that he will not connect himself to that which is temporary, God, which is temporal, which has no blessings in the end. Lord, give him eyes of the Spirit, eyes of eternity, and let his heart long after you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, may your word be his food and his drink day and night, God. May he draw close to you, and may others be connected to him who are strong in the faith that will keep him secure, Lord God, that will keep him connected to you. In the name of Jesus, Father, bless him mentally, physically, financially, and emotionally. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, my dear friends on the Daily Audio Bible. This is the butterfly from Bakersfield, now living in Camarillo. I want to thank each and every one of you who have been praying for me, for my daughter Vanessa and her significant other David, and for our family, my son and Henny. My grandson Jackson, who went to heaven, has left a pain in our hearts that we have never felt. There wasn't a member in our family that wasn't affected by this loss. It feels like I have a hole in my heart bigger than my chest, and it's been a journey. Since losing him, it has been like a nonstop just attack. It feels like somebody's throwing darts at our family. As a mother, I feel like I failed my son. I feel like the lack of a father in his life has really taken a toll on him, and so I'm going to add his fault. If you can please pray for his father, that would be appreciated. Hearing you guys' pray for me is just so touching. It just comforting. I just want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. Your love and support and your prayers remind me that we are not walking this alone. Thank you so much, and God's blessings.
This is Nicole from Alberta, Canada, and I am calling for the sweet sister who called in about self-sabotage and bitterness and not sure she needs to be here anymore. And I just want to pray life over you right now. I see you. I hear you. You're surrounded by family who love and lift you up. You were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason, and you are needed. You are valuable. You are the mom that your children need. You are the person that you are called to be. We are always a work in progress, and we all have things that we are working on, and you are not alone. And these things that we're working on, they don't negate our value. You have value exactly as you are today. Without changing, you have all the value to God. There is nothing so far gone that God can't fix and heal. God loves your children even more than you possibly could, and he has a purpose and a destiny for them, and that is in his hands. You are not alone. You are beautiful. You are valuable. You are precious. You are smart. You have wisdom. You are needed. You are made for a purpose. You are made for a reason. Start to speak life over yourself. Start to speak the truth of Scripture over yourself. God loves you, self-sabotage. I don't even want to say that. You didn't say your name. I linked it with self-sabotage, but that is not who you are. That is simply a pattern, and patterns can be broken. You are loved, and you have a destiny. Jesus, touch her, we pray. Amen.